You're in the Stampede, West Virginia Metro News' only show dedicated exclusively to the Thundering Herd. Here's your host, Dave Wilson.
Welcome inside of the program. Dave Wilson in the big chair here in the Metro News Marshall Man Cave. Clark, Crystal, Ryan, gang's all here, ready to get things started. It is the Stampede Podcast, presented by WVMetroNews.com and the West Virginia Metro News Radio Network. By now you know, download the show on iTunes, put it on your mobile device, take it with you anywhere you go. WVMetroNews.com, also find the show at Podomatic.com as well. I'm on Twitter at DaveWilsonMN. And email me, dwilson@wvradio.com. Talking a little bit about spring football, reaction to the green-white game. Not a lot to react to, but we'll get into that in just a little bit. We're going to talk Big 12 expansion and how that could affect Conference USA and how that could affect Marshall. There's a lot of dominoes that would have to fall and a lot of things that would have to happen, but it's worth starting the discussion at this point, I think. We'll get into that as well. Also going to play back for you a couple of interviews I did after the ball game on Saturday with tackle Clint Van Horn and tight end Ryan Juracek coming up as well. So we'll have their thoughts on a couple of different things, just spring ball being over. It was a long, mentally draining offseason for Clint Van Horn, who at the end of last year had to mentally move on from college football. He was done, and he could not sit back and expect to get that extra year of eligibility. Now, he got the waiver, got it from the NCAA. He'll be back, solidifying that offensive line for the Herd, but it was mentally taxing on him with the uncertainty that he felt and uncertainty he had in his future headed into spring ball. So we'll talk with Clint Van Horn. Again, talk to him after the spring game also. Ryan Juracek as well. We'll go through some headlines coming up in just a moment. The topic of Big 12 expansion is, again, I don't know if you want to call it on the front burner, but it has come up again, and this time it looks as if it is nearly inevitable that it's going to happen. And the reason being, maybe more than for financial reasons, is this paranoia that they are somehow at a disadvantage when you start talking about the college football playoffs and what they need to do to ensure they have a team in the top four every year. Now, of course, last 2 years you've had Oklahoma, you've had Baylor. But when the Big 12 decides to expand, your possibilities are actually quite limited. We're still only talking about Cincinnati, Connecticut, Memphis. I think they really would like BYU, but BYU doesn't want to play on Sundays, which is pretty much a deal breaker. They maybe would like Boise State, but there's no media market there. And really, the only thing you're adding is a football team. You're not adding an entire program, athletic department, that's going to elevate the conference. So you're really talking about Cincinnati, UConn, maybe Memphis. You're talking about plucking from the American Athletic Conference. Now, they don't have enough teams to have 12, to have a playoff, to have a championship game. They need to expand or retool. Where's the American Athletic Conference going to look? Same place it did before, Conference USA. And this is where the discussion comes back to what should Marshall do? Should Marshall consider making another conference jump? And we'll get into a little bit later why it should or it shouldn't. But it'll be up to the AAC to have to invite. Now, Mike Hammer can go and push and campaign, but it's going to be ultimately up to the American Athletic Conference whether or not it wants to bring in a team like Marshall. Now, it's going to have to consider several factors. Now, this whole conversation is based on the Big 12 plucking teams from the AAC. Big 12 wants to probably add some more regional teams, make things a little easier on West Virginia 1. Any of those teams, Cincinnati, UConn, Memphis would do that. Memphis, you bring an established basketball program, not so much with football. Recent success, but not a long history of it. But in the American Athletic Conference, do you want to go with getting media markets? That's what Conference USA did. FAU and FIU have been flops, but you got that Miami media market. They went out and got North Texas. Got that Dallas-Fort Worth market. How's that helped in the TV deal? If you look at it from a strict performance standpoint, you're really only left with a couple of options in Conference USA right now, and you got to look at the top three or four schools. That includes Marshall. Now, whether or not it's a good move for the herd to make that transition again, because basically you're moving into the conference you were in 5 years ago. But Marshall's athletic program right now is not at the same point that it was at 5 years ago. And also consider this, it's a very different climate economically right now than it was when this first major wave of realignment happened. These mega TV deals are getting signed. We'll get into the TV deal a little bit here in about 5 minutes. The contracts aren't worth as much as they were. Networks aren't buying up these rights and paying outrageous prices for them. Conference USA is going to take a major hit on its television rights deal this time, and that may be the biggest reason why Marshall should look elsewhere if it has the opportunity. All of those things are going to have to be considered. It all starts with the Power 5 conference, the Big 12, and then trickles down to the group of fives. And then if you're Conference USA, if you lose two or three schools, where does Conference USA go to pluck two or three schools more back into the fold? Another big wave is coming eventually, and it all starts in the Big 12. We'll talk more about it, why or why not Marshall should consider a move into the American Athletic Conference if it gets the opportunity. Stampede Podcast presented by WVMetroNews.com, West Virginia Metro News Radio Network. Download the show on iTunes. Some headlines from around Thundering Herd Athletics. Mark Stein reporting that Mike D'Antoni could get back into the NBA as a head coach, interviewing for the Rockets job. The system works if you got the guys to run it. I think that's been proven. I guess any system works if you got the guys to run it. Could D'Antoni land in Houston? Wouldn't call him an assistant coach, an advisor, consultant there for the 76ers. Bowl schedule has been released for Conference USA. I won't bore you with the details of all six of them. Two bowls really to keep note of and be aware of, the Boca Raton Bowl and the Heart of Dallas Bowl, because those are the two most likely options for the Thundering Herd. Boca Raton, the St. Pete Bowl is not on the list this year. Not in the conference's rotation this year. December 20th, the Boca Raton Bowl places Conference USA against somebody from the American Athletic Conference, 7 p.m. on ESPN. And the Zaxby's Heart of Dallas Bowl, Conference USA versus Big Ten at noon on December 27th at the old Cotton Bowl Stadium in Dallas, Texas. Those are your two probably most viable options. Don't see Marshall going to the Bahamas if they can at all avoid it. You're not going to go to New Mexico. You're not going to go to Hawaii unless the conference absolutely forces it. So keep an eye on those bowls. Marshall baseball back at it this weekend off the sweep of Middle Tennessee last week. Historic offensive performance for the Herd. Tyler Ratliff honored with the National Louisville Slugger Hitter of the Week. Just had a monstrous week at the plate. Herd back at Appalachian Power Park this week, taking on UAB. Schedule gets tough here down the stretch. You've got UAB. You've got Western Kentucky. Marshall can keep this momentum up. It's what, a game, two games out of the top of the conference? Set yourself up in that top four going into the Conference USA tournament. And mentioned rights fees a little bit ago. Actually, Clark sent me this article. It's from Deadspin and outlines the TV deals and the uncertainty around the television rights deals. And we're seeing these rights fees on the decline. Now, Conference USA is mentioned in this article, along with the French Open and International Champions Cup, as properties that have struggled to find TV homes. Consider this. ESPN has lost 7 million subscribers in the past 3 years. Fox Sports 1 has lost close to 2 million. Networks such as the Pac-12 Network, the Longhorn Network, failures. CBS doesn't even bother to have CBS Sports Network's viewership rated by Nielsen. That was one of the TV partners for Conference USA. The article kind of goes in detail about the ICC ends up signing a three-year deal with ESPN in terms below its initial asking price. That's what's going to happen with Conference USA. Is it a forerunner of what's going to happen with the big conferences? Maybe, maybe not. But you got to keep in mind, the MAC TV deal will come up again. Sunbelt, all the other conferences, all the other parallels to Conference USA, they're going to go through the same thing. It just happens Conference USA is on the front end of that. Now, some of these properties are looking at the internet, companies such as Google or Facebook or Yahoo, to try to figure out how to put their property out there to view on your mobile device. Because who knows where we'll be in 10, 15, 20 years, how we're consuming live sporting events. But still, nobody has figured out how to monetize the internet effectively. Because there's a reluctance to go out there and pay for these services. It's the Stampede Podcast presented by WVMetroNews.com, West Virginia Metro News Radio Network. We'll get more into the Marshall perspective of possible conference realignment, why it should not consider a move into the American Athletic Conference if such an opportunity were to present itself. Coming up next, we hear from Clint Van Horn and Ryan Juracek. Talked to them after the spring game last Saturday. Also, some reactions and takeaways from the spring game on a soggy Saturday at Jones C. Edwards Stadium. It's the Stampede Podcast presented by WVMetroNews.com and the West Virginia Metro News Radio Network. Should Marshall consider, entertain, or even advocate for a spot in the American Athletic Conference if such a situation would arise thanks to Big 12 expansion? We'll get into that coming up in just a moment. Some of my takeaways from the green-white game as well. It's the Stampede Podcast presented by WVMetroNews.com and the West Virginia Metro News Radio Network. Got the opportunity to speak with several of the guys after the game on Saturday. If you want to call it a game, it was a loosely organized scrimmage, maybe would be a better description. But it was the end of spring ball. Obviously, there was some relief to the spring ball coming to an end, as guys, you got to really slug through it. Because there's no game at the end of the week, there's no game at the end of the month, there's just the end of spring ball, and you really have to personally push yourself through that. Well, one of the guys I wanted to talk to and got the opportunity to speak with was Clint Van Horn. He got the extra year of eligibility due to the hardship waiver, the injuries he suffered last year. But it was a very taxing offseason for him because of the uncertainty. He didn't know if he was going to be eligible. He didn't know if he was going to be back playing football one more year, if he was going to have to prepare himself to try to get a look in the NFL, or if it was time to hang up the cleats and move on completely. So I talked to Clint Van Horn after the green-white scrimmage on Saturday about just the end of spring ball, how he's feeling, and his off season.
Everything feels good. I just can't wait to get started for the summer. I can't wait to rest up this summer. Spring ball kind of takes a physical toll on you. It's just rough. Also, you know, the mental thing of beating on your teammates. But it's more about personal development, internal development, your own game, getting better as an offense and a defense, because, you know, your only opponent is yourselves. So I'm just excited to move on to the next phase of training. It was a good spring.
I know the line by the end of the spring kind of beat up, but how was the development of the front five?
I feel like everybody got better for the most part. I feel like Levi Brown had a tremendous spring. AJ Addison looks better than I've ever seen him look. Of course, Fred Bonneau just kept getting better, and he ended up finding his way into the starting lineup, regardless of the injuries at this point in time. So I feel like there were some good things. Matt Harless, I don't know if anybody, you know, really knows about him. I know he doesn't really get talked about, but he had a really good spring, and he surprised a lot of people, and I can't wait to see him get better because he's going to play here.
How's it feel having Selby back next to you?
It feels great. That's my boy. It was really, really – he made my job easy in 2014. And he makes my job easy. He continues to do that. He just knows what I want. I know what he wants. we feel each other really, really well. We have a feel for the other one's game. We respect the other one's game, and we love taking care of each other out there on the O-line.
How tough was the offseason for you mentally with the uncertainty, waiting on the NCAA ruling, but at the same time having to prepare as if you're going to play a football season?
It hurt. It took a huge toll on me, mentally and physically. Mentally, I had already moved on before I got the ruling on my 6 year, and physically, you know, you pick up some weight after surgery, and at one point in time, I looked in the mirror and said, "Okay, got to get back down to where you need to be able to play." And I still got a little bit of work to do. That's what the summer's for, and strength and conditioning coaches are great, so I have complete and total faith in them.
Clint Van Horn, Thundering Herd tackle, talking to him after the spring game on Saturday. And again, the takeaway from that is just how hard the offseason was, mentally draining. Just the uncertainty, not knowing, you're preparing yourself, you've kind of mentally moved on, and then you get that surprise that, yeah, you got that extra year of eligibility, and he's going to make such a big difference on the right side of the line. He and Michael Selby on that side, Gene Felix on the other side. I think the line's going to be solid this year, and they're going to need it. The offense is going to need to produce this year, given where the defense is developmental-wise. You're developing players, you're developing linebackers, guys in the secondary. You're going to need the offense to really shoulder the load as well. Also caught up with tight end Ryan Juracek, who's no longer just one of those young guys out there in the lineup. He's a veteran. Talk to him about getting practice wrapped up for the spring and heading into the offseason.
You know, it feels great. You know, it goes by fast. It really does. You see 5 weeks when you start. But, you know, it feels great to be, you know, done and over with and on to phase two, which is the summer for sure.
How much of it is just a mental grind where you have to motivate and push yourself every single day?
Oh, I mean, that's the biggest thing. It's just, you know, you don't really have anything to play for in the spring. It's just all, you know, getting better. You don't have anybody to scout, no opponents film to watch. So just getting through the day, you know, and kind of putting, you know, whatever behind you and working, that's the most crucial part for sure.
At this point, compared to you at this point last spring, where do you feel you are?
I mean, you know, I think I took the approach this spring is just to be a better, you know, football player, not only working on, you know, on the field skills, but off the field skills, watching film, and, you know, becoming more knowledgeable about opponents and even guys you play on a daily basis. So, I mean, I just take that part of my game to the next level this year, is just kind of the film studying the opponents for sure.
Is it harder to learn and develop the skills on the field that you need, or those skills where you have to learn to watch film correctly, don't you?
Oh, yeah, no doubt. It's definitely harder to develop the off-the-field skills and to, you know, to learn more about the game. And, you know, everybody can play football, but, it's who can come out here Saturday, know the opponent the best, and execute that for sure.
I'm sure you leaned on the older guys to learn those skills. How much are the young guys now lean on you to learn those things?
Oh, you know, it's huge, you know, to have me and Bird, two older guys in the room, and then, you know, we got young guys and a couple freshmen coming in, you know, kind of try to take them under my wing like the guys did to me and improve them as much as the guys in front of me improved me.
What do you want to work on now between now and the start of fall camp?
I mean, it's all physical. It's just getting in shape, you know, being as strong as you can possibly be, being as fast as you can possibly be, and being the best complete player you can be for sure.
Thundering Herd tight end Ryan Juracek there at the end of spring ball. You know, Juracek's one of those guys now. He's not the young guy on campus. It happens so quickly for college football players. They come in, they're redshirt freshmen, they're true freshmen, they're trying to learn the ropes, learn the playbook. You might get a couple of balls thrown your way in a game. You'll have a couple of touchdowns. You go, hey, that guy's a nice-looking prospect. He's going to be a good player. And before you know it, not only are they major contributors, they're starters, they're upperclassmen, and now they are being counted on to lead the program. That's where Ryan Juracek is in his career. No longer the younger guy on the team. And he started to make this transition last year, but now certainly as an upperclassman, you're a leader. You're being looked at by redshirt freshmen and true freshmen who are coming in trying to learn how to be college football players, both on the field, in practice, in the film room, because there's an art. Ryan talked about that. There's an art to actually watching film, breaking it down, knowing what you're seeing instead of just sitting there watching film. It's not like how you and I just sit and consume a football game on ESPN on the weekend. You're looking for tells and tendencies, and there's an art to actually watching film versus just seeing it on the screen. And you have to learn that. And this goes back to a discussion that we've had before, was that Doc Holliday wasn't just trying to build a good football team 2, 3, 4 years ago with Cato and Shuler those guys in Jaspers. He was trying to build a football program in which your seniors, your leaders, your players pass on those intangibles that we always talk about. It's Chris Jaspers teaching Michael Selby. It's Michael Selby now passing on that information to Nate Devers, to Alex Locklear. It's Clint Van Horn teaching Stanley Jean Felix. It's Vinny Curry talking to the guy below him. It's Ryan B. eventually passing along that same information of how to be a college football player, how to handle the responsibilities of being a college football player on the field, off the field, in the classroom, in the meeting rooms. There's a lot that goes into it, and you have to learn. Coaches can't teach that. Players have to learn that from other players, and that's when you know you've established a good program versus just building a good team for 2 or 3 years. It's the Stampede Podcast presented by WVMetroNews.com, West Virginia Metro News Radio Network. Still to come, some reaction from the spring game. Not a lot you could take away from the spring game, but a little bit of reaction from that. Also, if the Big 12 expands and if it plucks teams from the American Athletic Conference, should Marshall campaign, advocate for a spot in the conference? Would it entertain an invitation? We'll talk about that next. It's a Stampede Podcast presented by WVMetroNews.com and the West Virginia Metro News Radio Network. It's the Stampede Podcast presented by WVMetroNews.com and the West Virginia Metro News Radio Network. I'm Dave Wilson. It's the Stampede Podcast presented by WVMetroNews.com, West Virginia Metro News Radio Network. Gang's all here. Clark Crystal Ryan on Twitter at DaveWilsonMN. Email me anytime, DWilson@WVRadio.com. Reading articles earlier this week, talked about it earlier in the show, about possible Big 12 expansion, and they're still talking about adding the same teams, plucking them out of the American Athletic Conference, Cincinnati, Connecticut, Memphis. They'd love to get BYU, but BYU won't play on Sundays, and that's pretty much a deal breaker, it appears. So if the Big 12 expands, if they take three teams, if they all take from the American Athletic Conference, okay, what's the AAC's next move? Well, they're going to want to replace those teams. Where are they going to look? Where has it looked before? Where was the Big East looking when it was trying to save its football conference, Conference USA? So would Marshall entertain an invitation? Well, certainly if you get the invite, you have to strongly consider it, especially given the TV deal that Conference USA is about to sign. You need the revenue number one. That guaranteed television revenue, that you need number one. So you would certainly have to entertain an invitation. Should you go out and campaign for it, though? Well, this is where you really have to sit back and take a real assessment of where your athletic program is and where you want it to go. Because you have to ask yourself some questions. Aside from the revenue, can I compete in this conference? And not just in football, because I think you can in football. Look, it is Conference USA 2.0. Talking about the same teams Marshall competed against 5 years ago. Marshall's athletic program is not where it is, or where it was 5 years ago. It's better. Can you compete in football, men's basketball, women's basketball? What about baseball? Is it good for softball? What do we do with track? I think the answer is yes to all those questions. Is it going to be harder? Yeah. Yeah, it's going to be harder. It's going to be tougher. But you can compete. Now, do you have the facilities to compete? The answer to that question, I say, is yes as well. Does Jones C. Edwards Stadium hold as much, as many people as some of these stadiums? No, but it is on par. Facility-wise, the indoor practice facility, the indoor track, the athletic medicine building attached to that, top notch, second to none. So you've got those. The cam's fine. The cam is the cam. It'll handle it. So you have that. Can you compete? Do your facilities match? But here's the biggest question. does your budget match? Because right now, if you go back and look at revenues generated from 2014 and 15, Marshall is on par with the rest of Conference USA. Now, you're not lighting the world on fire. Marshall brought in around $27 million in revenue. Now, how does that match up with teams that are currently in the American Athletic Conference? Well, you've got UConn on the high end, $72 million, and you can thank men's basketball and women's basketball for that. And on the low end, Memphis, $43 million. Memphis is on the low end at $43 million in revenue in 2014-15. Marshall was at $27 million. Now, can you compete with that? Now, your revenue is going to go up because of TV dollars. But can your athletic department, budget-wise, compete with these other programs who are going to outspend you by $20 or $25 million? And I don't have the answer to that question. I don't really know. That would be something that Mike Hamrick and President Gilbert would really have to sit down and take a long look at. There are still some people to this day, tell me, Marshall should have never left the Southern Conference. There are people to this day that will sit back and tell me Marshall made a mistake moving to the Mid-American Conference in 1997, should have never left old Division 1A, should have stayed in the Southern Conference. Now, I don't necessarily agree with that, but there are people who think that. If you're going to make the move, if you're going to entertain it, if you're going to advocate for it, I think you got to look a long, long time at the budget, and financially, can you make it work and sustain long-term success with your football, and importantly, football and men's basketball, and women's basketball? That's a question that President Gilbert, Mike Hamrick would have to really sit down and address if, and that's a big word in this scenario, that opportunity comes up between now and 2019 somewhere. Stampede Podcast presented by WVMetroNews.com, West Virginia Metro News Radio Network. Green-white game last Saturday. Not a lot you can really take away from that ball game. You had a lot of the offensive line missing. Those guys kind of went all day. It wasn't a real scrimmage. It was a situational scrimmage. You're going to run 10, 15 plays, and whether you score or not, we're going to flip the field. I like what I saw from the running backs. I think you'll see more with a healthy offensive line in there. I liked what I saw with the defensive line, but again, that has a lot to do with some of your top starters out on offense. Bottom line is, what I saw at a lot of positions is talent. You could see that Chase Litton has started to build chemistry with guys like Michael Clark out on the outside, build chemistry with the receivers just from December to April. And he's going to continue to do that from April to August. Here's the big questions for me that I left spring ball with as we trudge our way to August practice and begin months of speculating on the 2016 season. How will the defense develop? Because there's a lot of young guys on defense, particularly the secondary and the linebackers. How are they going to develop throughout the offseason and into August? And with that, how will the strength and conditioning program go this season? I think it's a big year for the new strength and conditioning coach because, we've talked about it in the past as well, the fact that Marshall was in better shape and stronger than the other guys saved them and won them a couple of games last year. I hesitate to use the word stole a couple of games, but it certainly won them. Marshall was the team at the end of the day that could play a fifth quarter if it needed to. You need that type of intense program over the summer again this year. And I think a big question is going to be, will Michael Birdsong be around in the fall? He looks good throwing the ball. I really do feel bad for Michael Birdsong. The guy just wants an opportunity to get on the field and play. Came to Marshall thinking he would get that. Got injured last year, and you have Chase Litton step up, and he has established himself as the number one quarterback. You can't take that away from him. Birdsong is throwing the ball around like he was last spring, like he was fall camp. And if you don't have him, that's going to leave a hole. Now, I know if you're talking about your backup quarterback, that's a good problem to have. But beyond Chase Litton, not a lot of depth in that room. It's the Stampede Podcast presented by WVMetroNews.com, West Virginia Metro News Radio Network. That'll do it for this week. My thanks to Ryan Yurecek, Clint Van Horn for taking some time after the game to speak with me last Saturday. And, of course, Marshall Athletics Sports Information Director Jason Coyer helping facilitate those as well. Download the show on iTunes, Podomatic.com, WVMetroNews.com. Back next week. Thanks for listening.